The Fable and Folly Network supports creators of exceptional audio stories, including the one you're listening to right now. If you love our shows, we want to hear from you. Complete our listener survey at fableandfolly.com/survey. This will help us learn more about you, what you like, what you'd like to hear more of, and how we can maintain an inclusive, safe atmosphere. As a thank you for your participation, we have extras and behind-the-scenes content from your favorite shows. Fans make the network what it is. Thanks for listening, and we can't wait to hear from you. Find our listener survey at fableandfolly.com/survey today. Looking to get out of the ads and back to the story? Fable and Folly Plus is a new way to support the creators you love. The podcast you're listening to right now and more than 60 others can be heard ad-free for as little as $4 a month by visiting fableandfolly.com/plus. And now, you'll start to see Fable and Folly Network shows are offering bonus content to all existing and new supporters. Find exclusive new episodes from shows like Where the Stars Fell, The Call of Cthulhu Mystery Program, and Civilized. Plus, early access to new episodes of Midnight Burger, all still entirely ad-free.
Hi, I'm Ryan LaPlante, and I'm one of the crazy founders of Dumb Dumbs and Dice, the podcast production company that's making the podcast you're listening to right now. Now, we're clearly busy. We're producing 5 weekly podcasts and a 6th event podcast, but we want to take this time to invite you to become a part of our company and a part of our Patreon at patreon.com/dumbdumbdice. You can get access to our Discord, access to exclusive DM and character chats. You can get the chance to name characters in our shows and vote on the way their stories will progress. You can even become a recurring NPC and hear yourself interacting with our characters each week through the voice of Tom. You can become a patron for as little as $1, and there's great value for you at even that level. So please, join the Dumb Dumbs and Dice family and help us make even more content in a way that you are guaranteed to love. That's patreon.com/dumbdumbdice. D-U-M-B-D-U-M-B-D-I-C-E. So let's do something dumb together, and thanks for listening.
I am Executron, god of merchandising, and I came into existence because Dumb Dumbs and Dice has its own merchandise. That's a god pun. Get it? Dice? Merchandise? Anyways, you can get t-shirts, hoodies, spiral notebooks, clocks, wall art, throw pillows, bags, and even stickers emblazoned with your favorite Dumb Dumbs and Dice characters and their catchphrases. There are plenty of different designs available, so there is guaranteed to be something you love. To show your love of Dumb Dumbs and Dice, go to redbubble.com/people/dumbdumbdice. That's D-U-M-B. D-U-M-B. D-I-C-E. One more time for the mortals in the back. Redbubble.com/people/dumbdumbdice. Get your merchandise today. All art supplied by the brilliant Decapitated Markers.
Welcome to One Shots, a Dumb Dumbs and Dice podcast where professional voiceover actors and improvisers tackle one-shot stories created in a variety of hit RPGs. I'm your host, DJ One Shot. And I'm here to welcome you back to Star Trek Adventures. This arc features our GM, Tom McGee, Ryan LaPlante as Security Officer Spork, Tyler Hewitt as Dr. Bartosh Karai, Laura Elizabeth as Engineer Emery Tor, and the mysterious Kristen as Science Officer Emily Cobalt. The away team returned to the USS Moonhammer to discover the ship was ravaged by the Ion Storm. Sucked into the temporal anomaly, the Moonhammer was attacked by a strange vessel and returned fire with maximum power. What happens when all the power of a Starfleet ship is forced into its phases? Nobody knows, cause it's One Shot! Star Trek Edition!
You suddenly see, like, the amount of power being forced into your tactical board, and you realize, you make a very quick calculation. So you fire the first blast, and you see that it's, again, it's overcharged. This is a very dumb thing to do. You can hear the phaser bank start to, like, overheat and burn above you. It fires and just ravages the shields of the other ship. The calculation you made was that if you kill life support for another 5 seconds, you could fire again. So you use that second blast while their shields are down to just cut carve a blast through the center of the ship. So the blast carves a hole through the ship. You see it venting personnel and debris. Everyone is again, you have a moment of weightlessness. The 5 seconds seems to last an hour, except for Spork, who I think is probably fine with this.
I float serenely in my victory.
Bits of Anders start to float up off the deck.
Oh,
and
oh
then all
God.
Of a sudden, power comes back on, life support comes back on, you all drop, and sort of you hear a crackle over communications at science that just says, we couldn't stop them, and then the ship explodes. So the Moonhammer is crippled. You've used all of your power. Narenda Station isn't too far away, so you feel like once you've spent some time working on the ship, you can move at impulse. Of your crew of 20, you're pretty much down to you guys, Bing Bong, and a small fistful of others.
Okay.
So anything you want to do in the immediate moment?
I will pull the ship back to yellow alert and alert the crew to begin critical repairs before they travel to Narenda Station?
Yep.
Narenda Station.
Want to get that captain up and commanding again.
So can you roll me a control and medicine at difficulty 2 because you no longer have a med bay?
Okay. Two successes.
Great. So you basically manage to sort of, with what you've got on you in your own med kit, this does seem like something that would happen in the field. This isn't a rare occurrence for a doctor in the field. So you're able to kind of cook up a cocktail and just inject it with them. It's not a permanent fix, but right. It'll get him awake and functional. It's a little bit like an adrenaline shot to the heart. Okay. So he suddenly like sort of shocks awake right. And he grabs you by your uniform and says, "What happened? What happened?"
"Welcome back, Captain. You don't have much of a ship left."
"Dear God." And he kind of like looks around and he sees the destruction. Like clearly there's like, you know, huge amounts of damage. You've got two security officers with you. You're on like a hover bed. But I think you probably pulled him into his quarters once you got out. Cause captain's ready room is always just off the bridge. Mm-hmm. So he kind of like sits up on the command table and is just like, "Well, what happened?"
I don't fully know yet, sir. I believe we engaged an enemy ship.
Enemy ship?
We went through the
right,
storm.
Spork said there was a vehicle. So he kind of like hobbles up and you can tell he's pretty fucked up. But he puts his hand on your shoulder and he just says, "Bartosz, doctor, or Dr. Bart, thank you."
That's right.
"I owe you my life and I won't forget it." And he starts to kind of limp towards the, he limps back out onto the bridge. When he steps out onto the bridge, again, like this, like Grantham was like the bright shining star of Starfleet. People were, comparing him to Kirk's early test results. People were very excited about him.
I run over to his chair and I wipe the pieces of Anders off of it.
Yeah, and you see him look at the bridge and it's just like, you've seen nothing but kind of intrepid, put together leadership from this man in the entire time you've known him, but you just see it fall away for just a moment, see how badly this damage affects him. And he looks on the surviving crew with great love and great respect, but the horror of this is too much for him to bear.
Completely oblivious to his emotional state, I say, "You have the bridge."
He says, "Thank you, Lieutenant Spork. You were acting captain, I assume."
"Correct."
"You did well."
"Correct."
And he walks over and he goes to put his hand on your shoulder and then he kind of thinks better of it and instead he just sort of nods at you and says, "Expected no less." And he sort of like limps over and he looks to the con panel and says, "Wait, where's Anders?"
"Sir Anders."
Spread liberally over the bridge.
"Thank you, Spork.
If it wasn't you, it'd have to be me."
"I'm sorry, sir."
And
he's
Grantham,
over there.
Grantham
and
like,
there.
Like,
and there.
He thinks on that and he says, he stayed on the con even though he was afraid. He served well and he saved my life. For if it hadn't been him, it would have been me. He was a good officer. He shall be missed. And then he goes and sort of sits back down in a chair, oblivious to the fact that you just wiped Anders off it. And he says, he sort of calls up the ship's computer's offline now. It's pretty damaged. So he pulls out his communicator, calls down to engineering. Mm-hmm. He says, Chief Engineer Emery, what kind of power situation are we looking at?
We're operating at minimal power, sir. I think with a couple repairs, we can get up and running, get the impulse drives up.
Can we make it to Narenda Station?
I believe we can, sir.
Excellent. Make it so.
Aye, Captain.
So, together, limping as a ship, you start to make your way towards the station. It takes a few days, limping at impulse power. There's something particularly horrible as Starfleet officers about being on board a Starfleet ship that doesn't move quickly. Because generally speaking, this is like none of you have had this experience before. It's slower than a shuttlecraft. It's absolutely terrible.
So just a question before we leave. I kind of want to take a look out my window and see what remains of the other ship. What did it look like?
So the other ship has been obliterated. Oh, okay. Like when it went, it went. What I will say is I think probably not now, but collectively later we'll be able to kind of describe it. But again, it is very much, you came out of this thing, saw it, and then you blew it up. But I will allow you to have that kind of dialogue with each other to kind of figure out what it looked like.
Okay.
I put in with the captain for commendations for both Lieutenant Tor and Ensign Bing Bong, as without them, we could not have survived the previous conflict.
So he's not even going to look at those until later, but you know, he gets the dings on his command console, and
in my own room later, I sit down and I'm like, interesting. An injured captain moves at the same rate as his ship, but that's just for me, and I don't write that down.
I like that your version of Spock's conflict about emotion is more so like, I'm willing to say most things. I will not say this one. Like that's huge personal growth for you.
I am aware that criticizing superior officers directly to them in the presence of the crew will lead to problems. I have graduated from the academy.
Do you have a value associated with that?
Starfleet rules must be followed in public.
Okay, let's talk about that later. I think you just earned yourself some XP. Again, trailing, leaving fallen comrades behind, the debris of the mysterious ship, and the now gone anomaly, you begin to limp towards Narenda Station. So the Moonhammer limps back to Narendra Station. It was somewhere you could stop along the way. Relationships between the Klingons and it was a Klingon station initially. The relationship between the Federation and the Klingons had gotten better since the end of the Klingon Cold War, but was still a bit touchy. However, it was the kind of place that if a Federation vessel happened to need to stop or pass by, as was the case with your trip to Trill, for Grantham's joining, you could do so safely. So you assume they'll offer you a port of safe harbor, given the dire circumstance of the ship. So as you start to approach the station, you receive a hail. And who's on? I assume, Elizabeth, you're still kind of operating Science Con.
Yeah.
So I think you probably have the comms as well.
Okay.
So
I was going to say, if we're going classic Next Generation, Worf at Tactical is the one who does the hails.
Oh, all right. Great. Mm-hmm. I was mixing my treks because it was like Uhura would kind of do science and comms and
yeah, she'd do that there, but they always have Worf.
Great, all right.
Ending communication and hailing people.
So
he's like, no response, Captain. It's like he says good. That more than anybody else ever.
Is someone hailing us? No.
No.
Guys up on them.
So you're receiving a hail from the station, Spork.
We're receiving a hail from the station, Captain.
Very good, Spork. Open hailing frequencies.
Open.
So you receive the view screen, which is kind of cracked and damaged from various trials and tribulations, switches to show a female Bajoran who is, you probably wouldn't know Bajorans at that point. I see a female woman with sort of nose ridges and an odd earring. who appears to be wearing an odd variation on a Starfleet uniform. You can see a Starfleet insignia, but it's more rounded than you remember. Her outfit is black with yellow shoulder, sort of yellow shoulder bar, rather than full color as yours are. She says, attention, unidentified vessel. This is the space station Narendra. Please identify yourselves. And Grantham says, this is where the NPC thing comes in.
we are all laughing in this room at Tom trying to improvise a scene with himself.
Grantham responds, this is the USS, and then he sort of coughs and he spits up some blood. And he kind of looks up sort of imploringly, realizing he doesn't have Anders around. So he looks to Elizabeth at science and says,
oh,
go.
Oh, yes. Hello, this is the Moonhammer.
And the lady on the screen kind of looks at you quizzically and says, but no, it's not.
I can assure you it is the USS Moonhammer.
So she punches in a couple things and kind of looks up at the ship and looks at you and says, all right, you're cleared for landing in docking bay 3, and the signal cuts out. So the ship comes in. Grantham seems to be doing not so well. You know, he's been patched up, but he's still certainly suffered some trauma. You land, and there's a number of security personnel waiting for you, and essentially an armed escort takes the command crew, so you guys, and says, the Admiral wants to see you, and starts marching you through the station.
As we wander through the station, I lean over to Captain Grantham, and I say, don't worry about your injuries, sir. Bing Bong is an expert in cybernetics.
Is there anything that little Nug can't do?
Speak grammatically.
Ah, true say, my friend. True say. So this is an odd station. Immediately you're struck by the fact there are Klingons everywhere, and you certainly have encountered Klingons, you've dealt with Klingons, but you've never seen this many Klingons in one space, and it's very odd because they seem to be talking to Federation officers, and there seems to be kind of a feeling of mutual respect and comfort that seems wildly outside the experience that you've had. In modern terms, it would be the equivalent of sort of living through the Cold War and then jumping ahead to, like, the 90s when Russians were our pals again. So this is very strange to you. You keep seeing these odd variations on Starfleet uniforms. It looks very stodgy to you. Where are the miniskirts? Where are the bright colors? It's very odd. However, people do seem to be... You do see Starfleet insignias everywhere, so you're somewhat comforted by that.
I immediately expect we have been betrayed by the station.
Fair enough. you're brought, you're sort of brought through the station to a chamber, and the security staff asks you to turn over any phasers you may have.
Thanks for supporting the Fable and Folly Network. Here's another show we know you'll love.
Hey, we're the Looters.
Hey,
what's up?
Looters is a sci-fi western actual play podcast using the Stars Without Number system.
We're a group of friends getting into trouble all over the universe.
So come with us if you're into adventure.
A rocket flies out of one of these ships far behind you and crashes into the wall and blows up.
There's rockets?
It's Mario Kart.
Crazy.
Intrigue.
Can I hack into the body and maybe see if they have, like, a memory data bank in their brain or some shit like that that I can access?
That'll literally.
Devastating physical injury.
Just take cover.
Okay. She's a good pilot, everyone. Very good. She's very good.
And friendship.
Aww. New episodes of Looters out every Tuesday, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, friends, it's Ryan, but like regular Ryan, as himself, talking about Dumb Dumbs and Dice. Yes, I'm one of the people behind this show. Obviously, you're listening to the show. You're loving this show. Somebody's doing great. Probably not me, but like Tom, he does really good work. Tyler does really good work. Third person also does really good work. I don't know what show this is on. But the important thing is that you can support the show and join the show at
patreon.com/dumbdumbdice.
That's right, that address that I totally just said. Go there, join Dum Dums and Dice, support the show. It's going to be great.
I am an acting Starfleet
Lieutenant. I am the acting chief of security of the USS Moonhammer here with my captain. I will not relinquish my phaser.
Sorry, may I ask why we need to relinquish our phasers?
Well, ma'am, you'll have to forgive me, but this is all very strange. The USS Moonhammer is currently on maneuvers halfway across the galaxy. The Admiral is curious to hear your story, but he's not going to just let you walk in armed. You have to understand.
You may not realize this, but my body is a deadly weapon. Take away this phaser, and the Admiral is no more safe than if I had it at my side. Okay, hence, I believe I could keep it to protect your Admiral, perhaps from the traitor forces that have infiltrated this station.
Grantham looks at you with just a look of respect, but also exhaustion. Says, just give him your damn phaser, Spork. That's an order.
I hand over my Type 2 phaser.
And then he leans over. Like, as you do, he kind of leans over and he's like, besides, we both know your hands are the deadliest weapons of all.
Flattering, sir. I've also hidden a phaser Type 1 in my back pocket.
That's my Spork.
The phaser Type 1 can be hidden.
That's my Spork. He's useful for all manner of things.
Mainly
not necessarily
violence.
Any one thing, but two things slightly less well than a specific tool for either. He hands over his
joke. Everyone,
yep,
there we go.
First of many, hands over his weapons. I assume you all do the same.
I don't have one to hand over.
I gave that one up. Cooperating and
yep.
Yeah, I reluctantly hand mine over.
Great. So, security personnel, open the doors.
I give you a nod, impressed that someone else was reluctant.
Security personnel open the doors and kind of walk into a large, very ornate office. It seems to be overlooking, looks out into space, sort of off in the distance. You can see, obviously, stars. There are ships that are coming and going. The ships are vastly different from the ones you're familiar with. They look a lot sleeker. The door closes behind you, and sort of there are a number of chairs waiting for you, and seated behind the desk is a guy who looks an awful lot like an old version of Sims. And he says, would not have believed it unless I could see it. Please, please, have a seat.
I will stand.
Of course you will.
Sims, is that you?
Yes. And apparently you.
You?
In the flesh.
Look terrible.
Apparently, the Neanderthal disease, after you leave the storm, reverts into an aging process enhancer.
I am recalling Spork's last statement of, I will kill you.
I am recalling that I have a Type 1 phaser in my back pocket.
I am cautious of Spork and what you will do next.
So, those of you who want to sit may, Grantham kind of makes his way to a seat, Sims just kind of, again, is just looking at all of you vaguely incredulously and sort of pulls up some information and says, well, here's the thing. You just, because he pulls up the ship's log and like Grantham gives him a quick report on what's happened. And he says, so you came out of the temporal anomaly. And Grantham's like, well, yes, we pulled out.
Yes, we did not flee.
Sims says, well, here's the problem. In my timeline, you didn't go through. You remained where you were, and time carried on its merry way. That was roughly 100 years ago.
You are very old.
Hey, man, you want to look up Star Trek ages? Like, Scotty is, like, 250 years old. It's a thing. No. It's the future. Don't worry about it.
That's not possible. You've abandoned us there.
And your cowardice was rewarded with an admiral's position.
You fly away.
Well, my cowardice wasn't rewarded with anything. My universal cure for how the fuck were we saying that?
Irimodium.
It's been so long.
Yeah, whatever.
You see, Sims, I feel that's a pretty good indication that you didn't come up with the cure.
No, someone else did. It was very helpful. I had this full data pad I managed to find. It was just full of useful information. But yes, my universal cure for the Remodic syndrome was, thank you, was heralded as quite the breakthrough. In fact,
I thought you required 3 samples to be able to synthesize that cure.
Well, someone synthesized a cure in a lab and had a lot of interesting data on her pad. So I just took some of that.
Okay.
And what do you know? Managed to cure the syndrome. And, you know, it's funny. Dr. Bart, you never really got over that. Well, at least the real you, not any kind of, like, gestures grandly, like this thing. You lived a life, so I suppose that's fine. You see, here's my problem. All of you came through. We have versions of all of you. Well, not you, and he points at Bart. He says, but the rest of you are here now somewhere. Well, actually, except for you, Captain. And suddenly, like, a look kind of passes over Grantham's eyes, and he's like, wait, what happened to my symbiont? And Sims shrugs and says, well, when you turned up dead, when Anders brought your limping ship through, the symbiont was joined to someone else. What did you expect? And the look that hits Grantham's face, particularly for you, Emery, is just only 100 or so Trill get joined, and out of the thousands who apply, and just knowing that you could have been one and losing it is unheard of. And Grantham just stands up with like a 1,000-yard stare and just turns on his heel and walks out. And the Admiral says, well, that took that about as well as could be expected. Yes, Captain Anders had quite a time of things after Grantham's death. Never really recovered from it. Led an absolutely dismal career as, and he again nods at Bart and says, you did. But the rest of you did quite well for yourselves. But what to do with you for? And you brought the ship.
Logically, yes. Walking here is impossible.
Touché, spork.
We didn't have any friends or allies to abandon on a planet. So we just took the regular route of flying our starship
and
here.
How'd that work out for you?
Well, back from the dead, I suppose.
We both... We all look collectively much younger and healthier than you. I would say this might have been the smarter choice.
Well, one of us has an Admiral's badge. You do believe in Starfleet regulations, do you not, Spork?
I obey as commanded. Then I also don't have osteoporosis.
I want to scan him for osteoporosis.
He's not going to let you blow your fucking data pad. Actually, you know what? Sure, go ahead. Yeah. Roll me control and medicine. Difficulty 1.
Allow the doctor to treat this for you.
1 success and a fail.
You scan him. It would seem that he's had some cybernetic augmentations, but yeah, that was a thing he had.
Good call.
I have a hunter's eye.
And I have a robot's back. That makes for a fun day. sort of to your collective horror, Admiral Sims very smugly fills you in on the fact that it is, since you set out, it has been roughly 100 years, and a lot has changed in that time. The Klingons and the Federation are now deeply seated allies. They're... At least 2 enterprises have come and been destroyed since your time. A new threat known as the Borg have appeared in Starfleet space. There's a Cold War now raging against the Cardassians. And there's reports of threats from sort of Deep Space Nine and other wayward outposts. The research vessel Voyager has recently gone missing. And generally, the galaxy's in a bit of disarray, particularly with the loss of the flagship of the fleet, the USS Enterprise. Sims is stuck with the unfortunate position of needing more ships, having a new ship, but hating everyone on board it. Still clearly carrying a chip on his shoulder from all of the mistreatment he feels he suffered at your collective hands, despite the fact that he clearly betrayed you and left you for dead. So kind of looking over Steepled Fingers, he says, well, we need more ships. You have a ship, but we already have one of yours. And then he kind of smiles to himself and he says, well, you can always use one more. I hereby redub your ship the USS Redundancy. We have all sorts of bullshit problems that we can, I'm sure, sort out with your collective knowledge, whether it's the failed doctor, the robotic Vulcan. I'm afraid I can't really speak to your further case, Cobalt. Please don't inquire further. And, of course, legendary engineer Emery Tor. Well, surely the four of you can get to some good. Oh, and do say hello to Bing Bong for me. He and I are still good friends to this day. And so he dismisses you to return to your ship.
I mean...
I will allow the other three to leave.
Yeah.
Then when the door closes, do I see any recording devices, security cameras, anything like that in this room?
You assume there are some, but they're not obvious. It's Star Trek, so all the technology is built into everything. It's not like there's like a camera pod hanging from the ceiling or something.
I walk back to the desk, and I say, your security forces are lacking. I note you don't have a phaser. Let me return this one to you. Also, I don't know if you're a reading man, but perhaps study the works of the 20th century General Clausewitz. He believed in something called all-out war. I think it should be something you're aware of as an admiral. And then I stroll out.
He looks at the phaser, and just as you turn, you catch, and it probably won't be much to you because you're Spork, but the facade breaks for just a moment, and you recognize that scared, panicked man that the doctor dragged into the shuttle that clearly hasn't forgiven Bart for seeing his moment of weakness. And he looks at the phaser, looks at you, and the door closes behind you. So, essentially...
I turn to the man beside me. I will have my phaser back, thank you.
He hands you your phaser, but with, like, a bit of... It's like one of those like absurdly outdated cell phones now. He's kind of like, wow, okay. And he hands you back your phaser pistol. And you see on his belt, he has something that doesn't really look like a weapon at all to you.
Brave of you to go unarmed. And I leave.
He just looks after you and is like, so that's him, huh? And his compatriot's like, yeah, that's the Grand Admiral. And they both kind of chuckle and they're like, weird. And they watch you walk away.
Terrifying.
So, essentially, Sims has given you the minimal amount of technical support needed to get the ship back up and running. And we'll be dealing with that in a future session in terms of how you craft it. But basically, I'm going to allow you...
getting a new warp core.
So you'll definitely have a new warp core. But essentially... you guys are the forgotten remnant of Starfleet. Your ship is not going to have the best of stuff. You're not going to have the best of gear. It's going to be up to you to kind of forge a legacy for yourselves. All of your present selves have kind of gone on to bigger and better things. You'll have to figure out who they are, what they've been up to. But more importantly, you'll have to figure out who you are now that you have this ship. And now that you have odd legacies to kind of either live up to or defy, your briefing report from Admiral Sims suggests that, if there's anything Starfleet deems kind of unnecessary, boring, or strange, that will be your purview. And, your ship has been dubbed, NCC 000, because he really doesn't expect you to survive too long. So he's given you an off-brand designation. When you arrive back at the ship, you are greeted sort of as you all climb back up. You're all sort of lost in your own thoughts. And the viewport comes on and says, it's Sims, and he says, oh, by the way, you'll note that currently none of you are the ranking officer because your captain went AWOL and stole a shuttle. So we don't know where he went.
God, these rogue shuttles.
But he's gone. But I think I have a pretty good replacement for you. You'll find him in the ready room. And sort of out of the captain's ready room comes this sort of disheveled and like sort of deeply haunted 5 o'clock stubble, like just like deep rings in his eyes, man that you can vaguely, vaguely recognize as an aged, worn out version of Anders. And he looks at all of you and he's like, "My God, it's true. You're alive. Oh shit. I'm your captain."
All things considered, Anders looks pretty good, right?
Sir, you may have a strange feeling when you sit in that chair. Don't worry, we cleaned it.
Everybody gets one. Go ahead.
No, I'm not doing that. I'm just deeply unsettled.
Happy you're here, sir. I would like to lodge a formal complaint against Lieutenant Sims for cowardice, dereliction of duty, and treason.
Anders starts laughing and then crying.
Oh, shit.
He says, "Duly noted."
Unsatisfactory.
And he looks at you and he says, "Yes, life is, isn't it?" And then takes a big swig out of his bottle and walks back into the ready room. The door slams behind him. But like Star Trek slams, so like slides closed.
Yeah.
But like real dramatically.
I turn and go to the tactical station.
Yeah, I guess I get out my like withdrawal kit for when I need to get him off the sauce and be a good captain. I'm just like, all right.
I go to my science station and I start pressing buttons, but I am weeping uncontrollably.
And my first priority is to go down to engineering, open up a computer terminal, and with our new updated memory alpha, just looking up to what's happened to the Trill homeworld, seeing if there's been any developments, and get in contact with the Trill Symbiosis Commission as soon as possible.
So you all kind of take a... It's been a hell of a day. Odd things have happened. You find yourself in a strange time, in a strange place. But you all return to your various locations and you feel at home. You've only worked together a little bit, but you're a crew, damn it, and you're going to make this work. And just as you start to get things ready for the ship to take off, for the USS Redundancy to take off on its maiden voyage, Emery, your musings are interrupted by a familiar voice behind you.
Ooh, what a happening!
And thus, the USS Redundancy took flight.
Bye!
Our Star Trek Adventures one-shot features our GM, Tom McGee, at McGeeTD on Twitter. Players Ryan LaPlante, at TheRyanLaPlante on Twitter. Laura Elizabeth, at EL Hamstring on Twitter. Tyler Hewitt, at Tyler_Hewitt on Twitter. And the mysterious Kristen, who don't need no help with Twitter traffic. This episode was edited by Ryan LaPlante, and all of Dum Dums and Dice's art is by Decapitated Markers, at Decapitated Marker, that's MRKR, on Twitter. This show's theme music is Gothic Trip with Thunder Horse by Damiano Baldoni, and our ads use the tracks No Control and Cheeks by Jazzar, J-A-H-Z-Z-A-R, all available at freemusicarchive.org. When it comes to Dum Dums and Dice, you can visit our website at dumdumdice.com, our Twitter and Instagram at dumdumdice, or on Facebook at facebook.com/dumdumdice. But most importantly, we've got merchandise at redbubble.com/people/dumdumdice, or you could join our Patreon at patreon.com/dumdumdice. Thanks for listening. Smash that subscribe button and show your love to One Shots. DJ One Shots out of here. Dum Dums and Dice has to give a special thank you to the supreme beings of our Patreon at this time: Christian Menicola, Long Long, the Half Blind Prophet, James Cuellar, DM Rob, Christopher Little, Joshua White, Olin Anderson, Sue One, Devin Boyce, George Dolby, One True Artistry, and Jill and Noel LaPlante. If you want your name to be added to this list, you can join our Patreon too at patreon.com/dumdumdice. Thanks to them, and a little bit of thanks to you.
The Fable and Folly Network, where fiction producers flourish.